6:17 a.m. broadcasting live from our studios on Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee. In studio, all-star panelist, good friend, recovering journalist, public affairs specialist Clint Brewer. Clint, this is the kind of story that you and I love to talk about. Yeah. Because it's a little bit in the weeds. It's
down in the weeds, lots of minutiae.
It's a little bit in the weeds.
Not made for radio at all.
I don't know. I mean, I think our listeners may kind of, you know, find it interesting to have two political nerds kind of get into the weeds on this.
We had a little clap back from a listener last week who was like, no, I like all this.
So. Yeah. For that one listener.
Yeah.
Or there's more. Actually, I keep hearing a lot of people like the dialogue, like the in-depth discussion.
Good.
So about this case now. So the decision was 3-2. And those who were in the majority were Chief Justice Roger Page, Justice Jeffrey Bivens, and Special Judge Thomas Frierson. I'll go get to that in a moment. Dissenting were Justice Sharon Lee, who was appointed, I think Sharon Lee was appointed by Governor Bredesen, and Holly Kirby, Justice Kirby, who I think was appointed by by Governor Haslam. So that's a little bit of a surprise that she took that viewpoint on it. Now, what's interesting is the case was originally heard on June 3rd, 2021, but due to the untimely passing of Justice Cornelia Clark, one of the fifth justices, the case was re-argued on February 24th of this year. But the current replacement for Justice Clark wasn't up to speed by that time. Sarah Campbell, who's now the fifth justice, appointed by Governor Lee and confirmed by the Tennessee General Assembly. So Judge Thomas Frierson, who's been a Court of Appeals judge since 2013, was named to be a special judge and participated in that re-argument on February 24th and became the deciding vote in this. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the ballpark on it. And so I think it was quite interesting to see, and I think it was decided on this very narrow issue, but I think it was decided correctly now that we look at how the Home Rule Amendment is set up, who it applies to. And I want to get back to this thing about the relationship between a county government and a local education authority. How exactly?
Yeah, I mean, the ruling, and we're going to oversimplify it a little bit, but the ruling said that essentially the state's home rule law doesn't apply to local education authorities. And, you know, really, if you look at the way local government is set up, you know, local education, LEAs, local school systems, they enjoy a fair amount of autonomy. Some of them even have their own taxing authority.
So let's talk about that. So the dissenters in this case, Justice Lee and Justice Kirby, they said, oh, yeah, the county and the local education authority that is funded by the county, well, they're basically one and the same. That was their argument. I don't think that's actually quite true.
It's not. So if you look at, you know, let's set Metro aside. I mean, you don't have to, but I mean, every county's got an executive officer, right? And they call mayor. Metropolitan government, it's the mayor. Some places it's called the county mayor. Some places it's called the county executive. But at the end of the day, you've elected an executive branch officer,
and they have a legislative,
and they have a legislative component. Branch, and so the county mayor, let's just call it that, and the county commission in most of Tennessee's 95 counties, what happens is they fund the school system, and then an elected board of school members decide what the school system budget will be and what the policies will be and who will lead the school system, which is a hired director of schools.
So there's a lot of autonomy. After the funding happens, basically the county has nothing to do with the school system after the funding. Is that right?
And then take it one step further. There are other school government public school systems that exist outside of the system we just described.
Mm-hmm.
So you also have in Tennessee, and this dates back to when the state was more of a agrarian society, where mm-hmm. there were parts of counties that had to literally build their school calendar around children being available to help with agriculture, mm-hmm. with the harvest. And so, you know, you have special school districts that are out there, and they don't report to anybody. I mean, there's not even a relationship with a county or a city government in some cases, and they have their own taxing authority. They can actually levy a tax on their territory. So school systems in this state traditionally and legally have enjoyed a lot of autonomy, which ironically is somewhat where this law came from. Because in Davidson and Shelby counties,
this amendment to was it the law?
Well, the law that Governor Lee
the
was
pilot
trying
program
to pass,
okay,
because these school systems enjoy so much autonomy, despite mayor after mayor after mayor coming through places like Nashville and saying we got to fix this school system, mm-hmm. it hasn't been fixed. And so the law is to allow the law does several things, but primarily it allows people to take their tax dollars and vote with their feet in a failing school
basically,
system.
Basically, if you're under the law, if you're in a failing school in Shelby County now or Davidson County, you can take that money and you can go elsewhere with it.
You can go to a private institution.
And it's your money to control that goes with the student.
I mean, it's essentially, yeah. I think they've chafed at this, but it's essentially a voucher system.
Yeah, well, it's been described in all the press reports as a voucher. In its opinion, the Tennessee State Supreme Court called it a voucher program.
Right.
So,
and so it still has to go back to the trial court. Let's be clear. This is not some holistic victory. It has to go back to the trial court.
But the key issue about the that was brought up in this case, does it violate the Home Rule Amendment of the Constitution? It's pretty clear. It doesn't. And
of
by the way,
state constitution.
Of the state, yeah, not the U.S.
Now
state.
They're going to argue the federal constitution.
Right. I don't think it's going to have much success, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But here's the thing. Now, this has been a pet peeve of mine. So you go in and you think, oh, the mayor and the county, the council or the mayor and the county commission, they can tell the schools, don't do this, don't do this curriculum. And they can't. All they do is the LEA presents them with a budget, one number, whatever it is. Once that budget is approved, how it's spent, even by line item, the school system can change it, and they often do.
Yeah, and the school system has to come back to their county legislative body for bonding. So if they want to build a school, mm-hmm. If they want to borrow money, they don't, unless they're a special school district. Most systems aren't. They're county systems. They have to go back to their legislative body to generate bonds mm-hmm. for large capital
expenses. For the building
for capital expenses.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Of course, meanwhile, the performance of kids in these K-12 schools pretty much everywhere starting to circle the drain. Even in Williamson County, there's a story on Fox 17 last night that the overall performance in Williamson County the past couple years has been down, down, down. Hmm. Now, part of that's due to the COVID situation. But now the practicality of this is the other federal issues now are going back to trial, right? What's the issue going to be?
Well, it's a very deep body of law around the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause.
The infamous 14th Amendment, where left-wing liberals find every right that they invent a right there, like every day. Right? There's a new right. I just found one in the 14th Amendment.
The Rorschach test of the Constitution. Yeah, I mean, it
is that an original line to you?
Yes, it is.
That's a very good line because it is.
It really is.
It's a very good line.
Well, I mean,
Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, and
that
so,
decision, they invented a right in the 14th Amendment that didn't exist.
Again,
they found it.
Yeah, oversimplifying, the 14th Amendment says that states cannot discriminate, in addition to not being able to discriminate by race, they can't discriminate by other factors.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some equal protection claims by Shelby and Davidson County in the original suit. They're going to have to go back to trial court and figure those out. And essentially, is there some lack of equal protection by implementing this?
I don't think they're going to be able to win.
I don't know how you say that the people given more choice as to how their tax dollars are spent don't have equal protection. It may be the people who choose not to use
them,
which I don't know.
Anyways,
it's very complicated.
I think this semester coming up, vouchers. Well,
I think that's vague.
Well,
that's been a major point in all the coverage is that no one knows when this is actually going to be allowed to start.
I think if I'm a parent in Shelby County, in Davidson County, I'm going to say it starts now. And let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, but who's going to give them the money to take with them?
Yeah.
And what form does that money take? Are they just handing out cash at the central office? Are they cutting you a check? What is it? How does it work?
We will see. I think there'll be parents out there saying, I'm going to the school now, and there may be, if the LEA says you're not getting the money, litigation will follow. I don't think it'll go well for the LEA, but we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
We'll be back with more twists and turns in political nerddom with Clint Brewer. Yeah, that's both of us in that land.